Welcome back to Live Action Remake, your source for movie news, TV news, reviews, and recommendations. My name is Diego, and I just want to say thank you to everyone for supporting us on our first month of Live Action Remake. Now, since it's the last episode of the month, I just wanted to go over a few facts for y'all, starting with the fact that we have almost 150 Instagram followers and just over 130 followers on Facebook. Now, if you're following us on Instagram and Facebook, thank you so much. That means so much to us that you're able to follow us there and see our news early. If you haven't already, we just started putting actual news on those sites. So if you can, go ahead and start following us. You'll see the news early instead of just hearing it on the podcast. So please check it out. We also got 4 reviews on Apple Podcasts and 7 ratings on Apple Podcasts, which I know that doesn't sound like a lot. That's small potatoes when it comes to podcasting. But for me, the fact that we're growing at all is incredible. So thank you to anyone who reviewed and rated us on Apple Podcasts. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please give us a rating, give us a review. It would mean the world. Finally, I just want to say that we have just over 400 listens on 4 episodes in 10 different countries and 25 different states. Now, again, this is all small. It's just mostly local. I know that, but it's still incredible that we're being listened to at all anywhere and that we're slowly growing. So thank you to anyone who's still listening and thank you to anyone who's just joining us for the first time. I hope you enjoyed the show. To start the show, let's talk trailers, starting with Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, starring Viola Davis and, in his final role, Chadwick Boseman, both playing musicians in Chicago in the 1920s. Now, when you have just one of these actors in a film, it elevates it to another level. But when you have them both pitted against each other, protagonist and antagonist, that is something that really excites me. Both of these actors seem to be struggling for the spotlight in this film, not in the actual film, but as characters, they're struggling for the spotlight as musicians, and it just looks fantastic. I'm a big fan of a period piece. If you put in the old costumes, old clothing, you've already sold me, but having these actors in it as well really got me excited. And I think it's important to support Chadwick Boseman after his death, especially. So check out that trailer. It's set to come out December 18th on Netflix. Let me know what you guys think about that one. The next trailer I want to talk about is Raya and the Last Dragon. It has got in its first trailer, which you can see now on YouTube, for the Disney film coming out in March. This film has gotten a little bit of controversy, though. It's been compared to Legend of Korra, and people are calling it out for Disney piggybacking on other studio animations. Let me know what you guys think. She does look a lot like Korra from Legend of Korra, but the animation style does look different. It is 3D animation. It looks pretty cool. Like, it looks like a good film. Kelly Marie Tran is in it. If you don't know her, she is from Star Wars fame. You may hate her because, I don't know, people hate her for some reason. She's a really good actress, so I'm excited about that. Awkwafina plays the dragon in the film. If you haven't been following Awkwafina's career, she is fantastic. I'm so excited to see her in anything. So check out Raya and the Last Dragon on YouTube. The other one I want to talk about, and I have a love-hate relationship with the director of this film. His name is Ryan Murphy. If you don't know who he is, he did The Politician and Glee. Now, if you like either of those shows, you also probably hate the fact that you like either of those shows like I do. It's just so much drama and unnecessary drama, but it's so good. But he has a movie coming out called Prom, coming to Netflix December 11th, 2020. It's starring Meryl Streep and James Corden, and it's based on the 2018 Broadway musical. It looks like a fantastic spectacle. I don't know much about the story of Prom. The trailer does not give a lot away. It just looks like a fantastic musical experience. And ever since Hamilton came out, I've been itching for another one. So let me know if you guys seen it. Let me know if you guys know anything about Prom, because I truly don't. Ryan Murphy's Prom comes to Netflix December 11th, 2020. And the final trailer I want to talk about is News of the World. It is a Western drama from filmmaker Paul Greengrass, starring Tom Hanks. If you know anything about me, Tom Hanks, as soon as he's in a film, you've sold me. I think he's a fantastic actor. I don't know much about this film as well. It appears to be that he is on a trip to bring a child to their home, and it's a long journey after the Civil War. So it's another period piece. I love a period piece. So I'm excited about this one. I think they're going for some Oscar buzz, probably because it's Tom Hanks and Paul Greengrass. But let me know what you guys think about all these trailers. Let me know if you've seen any of them, and let me know if you're excited to watch any of them. Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, Ryan Murphy's Prom, Raya and the Last Dragon, and News of the World. Now on to movie news. And wow, there is a lot of movie news that we need to talk about this week. A lot that I'm excited to talk about. And some that I'm not as excited to talk about. Starting with this one. There is a huge controversy with Chris Pratt this week that I felt that I needed to discuss. Because, one, people may not have all the facts. And two, it comes a point when a controversy gets so big that it's movie news. And this is a movie news podcast, so we need to bring it up. Fans have been associating him with conservative politics for attending a church who are active in anti-LGBTQ activism and have been branding him the worst Chris on Twitter. Pratt has been known to steer clear of discussing politics in most interviews. Mark Ruffalo, Robert Downey Jr., Josh Brolin, Zoe Saldana, and James Gunn have all took to social media to defend Chris Pratt. Gunn even took it a step forward and cited previous comments that Pratt had said his church's stance on LGBTQ rights are not representative of Chris Pratt's personal feelings. Now, if that is true, which many of these people, such as Mark Ruffalo, he's very liberal, very much on the left side. If these are true, in fact, I think Chris Pratt should come forward and say that he doesn't believe in those things. And I think that would be enough, but Chris Pratt has not come forward and made any statements about this. Chris Pratt also did not attend the MCU Joe Biden Kamala Harris reunion to support them. He was one of the big names that did not show up, and that raises some concerns to fans. I am just saying the facts right now. These are all things that are true. I don't know where he stands on these things. I think he needs to make a statement. On to less controversial news. Deadline is now reporting Oscar Isaac is in talks to play the titular role in Moon Knight. This is a fantastic casting if this is true. Oscar Isaac, I think we can all agree, is the best part of the Star Wars sequel trilogy. Maybe Adam Driver. But that would be a fantastic casting. He's a great actor. I'm really happy to see that he's doing more now and he's not just going to be known as Apocalypse from X-Men in the Marvel Universe. So now he's going to be Moon Knight. Let me know what you guys think about that casting. Spider-Man 3 has begun filming in Atlanta. And you can see the video on our Facebook of Tom Holland arriving in Atlanta. He seems so pumped for Spider-Man 3. And now that it's filming, we will likely get more news as to what this film is even about. There are so many rumors about what this film is going to be or what it could be. So I'm excited to see where it goes. It has also been said that by the end of this year, there will be a trailer for this film. So we will see a first look at this film by the end of 2020. So it's one of the few good things about 2020 is that we will get a trailer for Spider-Man 3. Deadline is reporting actor Michael B. Jordan is in talks to direct Creed 3 as well as star, and that would make it his possible directorial debut. Creed is one of my favorite sequel film franchises. I loved Rocky because when I was little, my mom had us all watch all the Rocky movies one week for some reason. To see Creed become bigger and bigger gets me very excited. Michael B. Jordan's one of my favorite actors. So let's go, Creed 3. I hope he directs. Wendell Pierce is set to play blues legend B.B. King in a biopic. Many fans of B.B. King are pretty excited about that. Fast and the Furious reportedly is going to end with the two final movies. It's finally over, guys. We just talked about this last week. We were talking about how ridiculous Fast and Furious has gotten. I'm happy it's ending. I think it's a ridiculous franchise. It's one that makes me laugh. I know a lot of people really enjoy it. Some people may be sad by this, but you know, sometimes a franchise needs to end. Legally Blonde 3 lands a release date in May 2022 with Reese Witherspoon attached to return. A lot of people are really excited about this as well. I've never seen any of the Legally Blonde movies, so let me know if you guys recommend them. Falcon and the Winter Soldier is set to bring back early Marvel characters in the show. They have not stated which early Marvel characters they mean. Do they mean early Marvel Comics characters, or do they mean early MCU characters? I would love to see the Abomination again. Maybe the Red Skull comes back, who knows? But let me know who you guys think will be in the show. I'm pretty excited to hear what that's going to be. And on to the Snyder Cut. There's a couple of news about the Snyder Cut, starting with the worst Joker is back. Jared Leto will reprise his role as Joker in the upcoming Justice League Snyder Cut. No one saw this coming. He wasn't even in the original film, so I don't know how he plays a role in this one. He was really shoehorned into Suicide Squad, so the idea that he's coming into this film is mind-boggling. Will he just be shoehorned in, or were they planning an arc for him all along? I don't know. I don't hate Jared Leto as much as most people. I know I just called him the worst Joker, but think of a worse Joker. There isn't one. But his performance is really weird. I'm really intrigued to see how different it is, or what is new about the character, because we really only saw a little bit of him in Suicide Squad. So there isn't a lot to hate. There is a lot to be concerned about, though. Joe Manganiello is also returning as Deathstroke in the film. This one I'm a little more excited about because his Deathstroke looks pretty badass. Which means that we have now six villains in the Justice League film. Lex Luthor, Joker, Darkseid, Steppenwolf, Desaad, and Deathstroke. This Snyder Cut is going to be packed with a lot of DC fan service. I'm just so confused as to what this movie is going to even be now that it's 4 hours. Amber Heard, Ben Affleck, and Ray Fisher have all returned currently doing new scenes for the Snyder Cut, which is interesting because Amber Heard, there is big controversy with her and her husband, and Ray Fisher, there's even bigger controversy with him and Warner Bros., so I can't imagine that could be easy for him to be on set right now. In other news, Daniel Kaluuya has been cast as Barney in an upcoming movie. I love Daniel Kaluuya, great actor. Is he in the suit? I don't know what, how, why would you cast such a great actor as Barney? I don't know how far they're going with this. I don't know if this is an all animation style movie. Is this a live action remake? I don't know if it counts as a remake if Barney's already live action, but let us know what you think about that. Daniel Kaluuya is known for playing the main character in Get Out. He was also in Black Panther. Amazing actor. Why is he in this film? Michael Keaton refuses to confirm that he is in the Flash movie. We're having discussions. We'll see if it happens. He also claims he is the best Batman, which I gotta say, he's top two. Ben Affleck, then Michael Keaton. You disagree? At me. Christian Bale, suck it. Anyway, on to next news. We got our first look at Tom Holland as Nathan Drake in the upcoming Uncharted film, which is set to be an origin story for the character of the beloved games, Uncharted, coming out July 2021. I've never played Uncharted. I think he looks pretty cool. I know a lot of people are not for him because they think he doesn't have enough swagger to him. I don't know much about the character, so I can't really speak on that. Let me know what you guys think of him as Nathan Drake. Empire give us our first look at the new Suicide Squad on the cover of their December issue. They got the whole squad up there together. It looks pretty cool. And we got a couple exclusive images that you could see on our Facebook page right now. Shang-Chi has officially wrapped filming as well in a very emotional post. Actor Simu Liu has said that the cast will be all Asian, which is pretty awesome. He often attributes him getting this role to Chadwick Boseman, saying that it's off the heels of him, that it wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for Chadwick Boseman. He said that before, so I imagine this film will be to Asian culture what Black Panther was to Black culture, so that'll be really cool. You can see the post on our page as well. We have it before he deleted it on Instagram, so you can see it on our page right now on Facebook. James Bond's No Time to Die is reportedly being shopped to Netflix, Apple, and other streaming services. So we may get James Bond in 2020, but not on the big screen. So let me know what you guys think about that. On to TV news. Power Rangers is getting another reboot, and they want to make a live-action TV show connected universe. Aren't the other ones already all connected? I don't know much about Power Rangers. I know the last movie was kind of a meme, but I don't know much about the shows. I didn't end up growing up with them. Let me know what you guys think about Power Rangers. Away from Netflix has been canceled after just one season with Hilary Swank. The showrunner of the show said that the next season would be entirely in space and that they were very excited to do it, but it has gotten canceled. There has been a casualty in the streaming service war. Quibi has been shut down after only 6 months of being up. It is going to shut down in December of 2020. Now, if you don't know what Quibi is, Quibi was a streaming service designed only for your phone. 8-minute long episodes, very short. It was a bad business model. I don't think a lot of people really watched it or got into it. I can't tell you one show that was on Quibi. They had a lot of really big actors on it, like Anna Kendrick was on a show. I heard Reese Witherspoon was on a show, but nothing very exciting. I think it was a bad business model. Now, I'm still sorry to all the people who have lost their jobs from this, but I was probably never going to get Quibi. I don't know if you guys had Quibi. Let me know if you did, and let me know if you're sad to see it go. Tim Burton is developing an Addams Family TV series set in the present day from the point of view of Wednesday Addams. Now, again, I think I've brought up on the show, I've never seen Addams Family. I don't know very much about it. Let me know what you guys think about it. I think Tim Burton has kind of fallen from the peak of his powers. He used to be a very great filmmaker. I think he hasn't been as consistent as recently, but a lot of people are excited about this, so let me know if you are. We got our first look at Red Hood in Titans Season 3. He was played by Curran Walters, I believe his name is, on the first two seasons of Titans as Robin, and now he's taking up the mantle of Red Hood. Now, I don't know if you guys have seen Titans. I'd say it's probably the worst of the DC original shows, but their costumes are very good for the most part, and this one looks spot on. I love the helmet. I love the jacket. I'm a big Red Hood guy. I think he should be in a Batman movie already, but he isn't. Let me know what you guys think about that. Let me know if you guys seen it. It's actually on our Facebook page as well and on our Instagram at Live Action Remake. And we got a first look at Batwoman Season 2. Javicia Leslie, who has taken over the role from Ruby Rose in costume as Batwoman, looks incredible. The wig has changed up. I think it looks much better. She looks fantastic. Let me know what you guys think. That is also on our Instagram and our Facebook. I don't think Ruby Rose was a particularly great Batwoman. I think that she's a fine actress. I don't think she was right for the role or never really made it her own. So I'm excited to see something different and new with it. So I think Javicia Leslie is really going to bring something different. I hope it's good. I'm going to give it a try. That's all the news I had for the week. Let me know what you guys thought about any of those pieces. Are you excited for Batwoman? Are you excited for Red Hood? Are you excited for the Joker? Let me know. I wanted to try something a little bit different for the last episode of the month because this argument has come up to me twice in 1 month. And I'm very passionate about it. It is a movie argument, so I'm going to try to bring this up every now and then, different movie arguments to talk about. And it involves Captain America Civil War, probably one of my favorite Marvel movies of all time. And I want to argue why Iron Man is correct in the Civil War. Now, I don't want to argue from an emotional point. I'm not going to argue that, you know, freedom over security. I'm not talking about any of that. And I'm not talking about the comics either. I'm specifically talking about the movie. But what I want to do is come at this argument from a different angle and actually talk to you about why Iron Man is correct in hindsight after the events of Endgame. So if you look at everything after Civil War to Endgame, I'm going to tell you why if everyone would have just sided with Iron Man, things would have ended up much better for our heroes. Starting with the fact that the Sokovia Accords don't really do anything. I understand that people had to sign it and there was the possibility that the UN would control the Avengers. But if you look at Spider-Man Homecoming, where Iron Man is able to save the fairy by himself, you could see that the Accords don't really affect Iron Man's day-to-day saving of being a superhero. It also didn't affect Black Panther, who must have had to, or Vision, or War Machine. They don't seem constricted by anything. War Machine and Vision all go to Wakanda. They don't really have any power over the Avengers, so the Sokovia Accords, if anything, was really to put the American people and people of all other countries at ease. It wasn't meant to control the Avengers, because let's be honest, they can't control the Avengers. So the fact that Captain America fought the Sokovia Accords so hard was for nothing. It really was, because at the end of the day, the Avengers can do whatever the heck they want, period. Now let's go into where people end up because of who they sided with in the Civil War. Captain America, Black Widow, Falcon all end up on the run. I know we don't know where Black Widow ends up, but it clearly seems like she is going to be going through a lot in her movie. Captain America and Falcon end up on the run. Winter Soldier ends up frozen again. Scott Lang ends up having to go to prison. House arrest, and so does Hawkeye. And if both of those people were around, maybe Infinity War could have ended differently. Black Panther was able to go back to Wakanda because he was part of the Accords. Vision was able to stay in the Avengers Mansion because of the Accords. And Spider-Man was able to continue to be a hero because of the Accords. He did not get affected at all. And that's how little the Accords had over the Avengers. Any Avenger, even heroes that are not as connected, the Accords don't really affect them. It doesn't affect Doctor Strange. It doesn't affect Thor. It doesn't affect the Hulk. And even at the end of Endgame, General Ross is at the funeral. General Ross has no power. So why not just sign the dumb Accords so you can just continue to be a hero? If General Ross was there, and if he had the power to, don't you think he would have taken Captain America in prison at the funeral? Or any of the other heroes? But he can't, because he has no power over them. Now let's jump to Infinity War. While there are two different groups of Avengers / Guardians who are trying to stop Thanos one way or the other, Captain America and his group of Avengers are all on the defensive, trying to defend Vision from Thanos and his armies. Iron Man goes on the offensive and nearly succeeds at taking Thanos' gauntlet away, which he actually does, but I'm not arguing about Star-Lord right now, I'm just arguing about the plan. Iron Man went to space with nobody. He ended up saving Doctor Strange, and Spider-Man ended up tagging along, but really, he went with the sole purpose of beating Thanos by himself. By accident, he thought that this plan would work. It would have been with just three Avengers, right? He didn't call anyone because he didn't have faith in his fellow Avengers. He didn't have faith in Captain America because of everything that happened in Civil War. Now, if you look at the fight on Titan, where he had three of the worst Guardians on his side, Doctor Strange, Spider-Man, and Nebula, he nearly succeeds. His plan nearly works. If he had a few more key Avengers, his plan of taking out Thanos by himself would have worked. It was the more intelligent plan. Now you go to Wakanda, where Captain America's plan is simply to protect Vision with the Wakandan army. This was a horrible plan, and I'm going to break down why. You may not think so, but 1. Captain America, Black Widow, and Falcon all have been on the run for quite a while. All of them have exhausted their resources. They do not have their usual weaponry. Falcon's armor doesn't have as many missiles. Captain America doesn't have his old shield. Black Widow doesn't have her electrical gauntlets. They're just not as useful as they used to be. Scarlet Witch is put on the defensive to aid Vision, so she's not even on the front lines for a really long time. The only useful people, really, are the Wakandan armies. And they are also at a disadvantage because they have just been in a civil war from Black Panther. The border tribe is basically gone. M'Baku and his men have come to the forefront, but they don't believe in technology. They fight with sticks because they're traditionalists. So the Wakandan armies are at an all-time low. Winter Soldier is brought back, but Winter Soldier, what makes him more powerful and more useful are his lethal capabilities. So as a hero, Winter Soldier, by definition, isn't as useful as he used to be. War Machine is crippled. Vision has been stabbed. Mark Ruffalo's, I said Mark Ruffalo, Bruce Banner is not turning into the Hulk anymore, so he's stuck being a Hulkbuster, and he's not as useful in the Hulkbuster armor. The only time this group of Avengers actually gets an advantage is when Thor comes, and they were not counting on Thor, Rocket, and Groot. They weren't counting on them at all. So that plan was the worst plan. It was of the two. Iron Man's plan, if he would have had a few more Avengers, which would have happened if the Sokovia Accords were all signed, he would have had faith in other Avengers. They would have been able to stop Thanos on Titan. And if they stop Thanos on Titan, guess what? Iron Man doesn't die. Gamora doesn't die. Black Widow doesn't die. And Endgame doesn't need to happen. That's why Iron Man was right in Civil War in hindsight. Let me know what you guys think about that. Sorry if I got a little bit loud. I get very passionate about Marvel stuff. I'm a big Marvel fan. Let me know what you guys think. If you're more of a Captain America or an Iron Man guy, let me know if you agree with me. Let me know if you want to argue. I'm down. Let's go. Now I want to move on to what I'm currently watching. And this show, I was so excited that the fourth season had finally dropped on Amazon Prime because I'm a big fan of this show. I didn't want to pay for the whole season though. I really just wanted to watch the whole thing for free. It's called Mr. Robot. And it's from USA. The whole show is now on Amazon Prime. So if you get a chance to watch it, if you are in a not as healthy mental state, I don't recommend this show. This show gets very sad. It gets very deep and makes you think a lot about society, technology, how we are isolated, how far we've come, and how far we'll go. It's such a great show. It's well acted, well written, well directed. It feels like a movie every time I watch it. BD Wong is one of the villains. Incredible in this show. Rami Malek is the protagonist. Maybe one of the greatest actors working today. It's gonna make you sad. It's gonna make you really sad at some point. It's gonna bring you to a low level. But it's so well done. I can't stop watching. It also has one of my favorite characters who loves pop culture in the show. His name is Leon. Let me know if you have seen the show. He's actually played by the rapper Joey Badass. Favorite character in the show by far. He just loves pop culture, and he'll bring up pop culture every now and then, and I appreciate him a lot. Let me know if you guys seen Mr. Robot, and let me know if you guys watch it as well. Don't spoil anything, though. I'm in the middle of season 4. I'm almost done. Finally, I want to give a recommendation of a movie. It's a timely movie, and it has Sacha Baron Cohen. No, it's not the one that you're thinking. It's actually called The Trial of the Chicago 7. Now, I had never heard of this trial before. This movie is on Netflix, by the way. I had never heard of this trial before. It's an incredibly horrible situation where 8 people, actually, not 7, are put in a situation where they are in court for something they clearly did not do. And the world knows they did not do it. But it doesn't matter because the system is broken. So what they do is they use this platform to speak out a way to convey their messages. Now, this film is particularly powerful in the time that it's come out. Eddie Redmayne is in it, Joseph Gordon-Levitt's in it, Michael Keaton, Sacha Baron Cohen. It's a fantastic cast, and you're going to get very upset, and you're going to get angry. But you're also going to feel very, very proud of the people in this trial. You're going to feel sympathy, empathy. It's going to make you laugh so much. I didn't think I would laugh so much in this movie, but I did. And at the very end, I think you're going to feel better than you thought you did. You would at the end of this movie. It's a real trial. The main reason why I wanted to watch it is because I'm a resident of Chicago, and anything that happened in Chicago history, I would like to know about. I think this trial is very important, particularly now with what's been going on with the police. So please give it a watch. It's on Netflix. I'm pretty sure it's going to get some Oscar buzz. So check it out before then. Be ahead of the curve. And let me know what y'all think. Okay, that's pretty much all I had for the show today. Thank you so much for watching our last episode of October. I know I keep saying it's the last episode of October. I'm just excited. You know, it's just exciting to see how far this show has come and how much I've been doing with it. Please, if you get a chance, check us out on Facebook and Instagram at Live Action Remake. Let us know what you think about anything on the show. Give us your opinions, your views. Let me know if there's anything I missed, any trailers I missed. And yeah, you know, just wear a mask, stay safe, Do what you love. Y'all have a good one. I'm signing out.